And now, Jalen and Jacoby.
It's been a long time.
We shouldn't have left you.
Without a dope pod to step to. He is Jalen Rose.
What up, though?
I'm David Jacoby.
And on the cool check-in. Center stage on the mic. And we put it on wax.
We're Jalen Jacoby. What do we do?
We get a people. What they want.
Happy New Year, Jalen Anthony
happy
Rose.
New Year.
Happy
Handsome.
New Year. I want to say Happy New Year to everyone listening to the podcast right now.
Yes.
Really appreciate you so much. 2020. This is our year.
No doubt.
This is our year.
No doubt.
This is our year.
No question.
We've just been building up to this one.
All of the discipline, all of the sacrifices, all of the focus.
This is our year.
We're going to go hard.
This is our year. We have
hard.
A lot in store for you, our podcast listeners.
Yes.
There's a lot to cover, man. It's been a while. Great
Happy
to
New
be
year.
Back,
yes,
Jalen Rose, after a nice break. The Lakers are back, too.
Mm-hmm.
Jalen, they played the Sun last night. LeBron James did what he does. 31 points, 13 rebounds, 12 assists, another triple-double for the King. And they were up by 36 points at one point.
They were.
Gave up that lead. Jalen, my question for you is this. When you have AD and LeBron having to go back in the game, how bad is that for the Lakers?
It's just one night. You don't want to make it the normal load or case study for what may happen projecting going forward. But if you're those two guys, that's your opportunity to now challenge your teammates.
Mm.
All right, Caruso. All right, Kuzma. We turned it over to you guys, 30-plus point lead. Y'all got to hold it down. That's why I've talked about in-game load management is how
this.
It used to be done.
See, I love this. Tell people what you're saying.
You got to get out there and beat. They was 43-17 at the end of the first quarter. Beat the brakes off the opponent. They was up 30 at halftime. Take care of your business. Then you can ice your knees late in the third, all the way through the fourth. Like LeBron in Utah, take off your shoes, give them to people in the audience. That's how you're supposed to do it. Handle your business early and allow your star players the opportunity to rest.
And also with AD and LeBron, both have been kind of dinged up a little bit this season, and AD has sat out a game at least. Do you think that'll be a problem moving forward for the Lakers?
I don't think injuries to LeBron or AD will be an issue for the Lakers. I'm going to tell you what I think an issue could be for the Lakers.
What's that?
And you're a LeBron stan.
Love
you're,
LeBron.
You're not going to get this one.
What?
LeBron is one of the greatest basketball players to ever do it.
I love what you're saying.
I'm
so
not
far.
Breaking news by saying
I would
that.
Say the greatest, but continue.
You ready for this?
What's the problem?
You got to do too much for this team.
I think that's fine.
You got to do too
I'm
much for this
team. I'm fine with that. I'm
and,
fine with that.
And here's what I mean. Usually LeBron James ain't going to be your first or second team. First or second in scoring, leading the league in assists. And you ready for this one? Who do you think made more threes on the Lakers than LeBron? No one.
I was thinking, that's a problem.
Correct.
That's a problem. Danny Green should be the answer to that question.
And so what ends up happening is when they play against the Clippers, for example, LeBron, 6'8", chiseled, he's 50 feet away from the basket. You could put Patrick Beverley on him, get underneath him, take away his airspace. Slide Paul George on him some. Slide Kawhi on him some. Harkless is a good defender. That's why out on the perimeter, the Clippers have given them issues when they face one another.
So, Jalen,
both times.
Let me tell you why that's not a problem to me.
Okay.
This is the first time in, I'd say, a decade LeBron had the summer off. Like, this is why he's all rah-rah about not missing games and load management and this and that. He had the entire summer off. You know, he didn't play with Team USA. He didn't play in the playoffs. So I feel like it's okay for LeBron to carry the load that he does for the Lakers this season.
And here's another thing that the Lakers are going to have to start doing. I'm projecting now, telling you that they got to take some of the load off LeBron, in particular the three-point shooting.
Got to get some shooting.
They need somebody else that could create shots off the dribble. Jamal Crawford, hello. Do these cameras work? Jamal Crawford. He averaged 30 points in April. He can create off the dribble, right?
Yes, he can.
Oh, here's the other thing. Anthony Davis's offense solely comes from LeBron assists.
It really does. Because if you remember Anthony Davis and the Pelicans, he would cook. Like they would just give him the ball and run some action around him, and then he would, if he didn't like it, he would just create a shot for himself. He doesn't do that really with
now. That's easy money for him because he's one of the top 10 players in the game. But the reason why I bring that up is the game slows down either in the fourth quarter in close games, but definitely in the playoffs.
Yes.
Okay. And you know what teams are going to do in the playoffs, right? They'll take away your first option. So this idea you're going to run one side pick and roll and drop it to AD or lob dunk. It to AD and he's going to dunk. Off. That ain't happening.
No.
That ain't happening. It's going to happen against Phoenix January 1st, but that ain't happening.
No.
May.
No.
Okay. And so I think the three-point shooting, LeBron having to do all of the creating, and them using Anthony Davis as a go-to player. Whether it's 15, 18 feet away, he loves that left side. Allow him to cook.
Yeah, he can pass too.
Yeah, allow. Remember when they joined one another. And by the way, this is like criticizing a model.
Yeah, we're nitpicking. Sure,
but this is what it's going to take for them to be the champions.
Yes,
is my point. Anthony Davis. They talked about running the offense through him. When he joined the team.
They're not doing that.
At all.
Yeah, I do remember LeBron, he was like kind of deferring a little bit to Anthony Davis. No, they're not doing that. That's not what's happening.
LeBron is doing for the Lakers. Ready for this?
Mm-hmm.
What Luka is doing for the Mavs. Except the Mavs don't have as much talent around them.
They don't.
As LeBron and the Lakers do. That's the point that I'm trying to make.
And I also want to say this. Shout out to KCP. Early on in the season, his name was getting tarnished.
Yeah.
His name was getting tarnished.
Yeah, he was trending for all the wrong reasons.
Yes, he's been playing well lately. It is now time for a LeBron-related soft move or bust move. LeBron turned 35 years old. He looks all 35, too. He does, let's be honest.
He played almost 20 years, man. 17 years in the league.
And he threw himself a birthday party. Had all the friends there. 2 Chainz was there.
Oh, priceless.
Had some of his colleagues were there. You know what they did after that party?
What they do?
They went to the strip club. And he brought Savannah. I love Savannah so much. I think I love Savannah more than I love LeBron James.
Yo,
Savannah's the best. Savannah, we all bow down to Savannah James.
James. That's all I have to
say. Savannah James is the absolute best.
You know what? I just not figured out something.
What happened?
I just had an epiphany.
What happened, Jalen?
Just had an epiphany.
Jalen, what happened?
Savannah.
Okay.
For significant others, deserves a statue.
Really?
Yes.
Statue? Where'd he put it? Front yard?
They got multiple cribs. I say Cookie Johnson.
Yes.
Lynn Thomas.
Yes.
Savannah.
Love Savannah so much.
They deserve statues.
So
how about that? What do you think of that idea?
I don't want a statue of yourself at your house. That's the thing. It needs to be in a public place. You know what I mean? You can't have a statue of yourself at your house. If I went to your house and you had a statue, I'd be like, Jill, we got to talk.
So let me just say something. Isaiah Thomas, Magic Johnson, LeBron James have a couple of things in common. One of them is they're all moguls.
Mm-hmm.
They can put the statue anywhere.
Okay.
Let them figure that out.
So taking your significant other to a strip club, soft move or boss move?
This is the granddaddy of them all.
Of course it's a boss
move. This is an ultimate boss move.
Of course it's a boss move. Of course it's a boss move.
Come on, man.
I love it so much.
Here's what I want.
What?
Was it a spot that does table dances or lap dances? There's a distinction there.
It was a place called Crazy Girls in Los Angeles.
Table. Okay. No drinks.
Moving on. I don't know how you would know that. we have something that we've had not too many of this NBA.
No, I lived in LA for like 20 years.
I'm trying to keep you from getting fired and getting us canceled.
Okay.
Let's move on. We have something that we do not had a lot of this year. Zion Williamson update. The latest is that he could play in the month of January. So there's been some people talking, saying that perhaps he should kind of take a redshirt year, a la Joel Embiid or Blake Griffin. You know, obviously they didn't do it for their own volition. Do you think it'd be smart for him to play this season?
I'm one of those people. So
redshirt?
I'm one of those
people. Oh, I'm going the other way. Oh, no.
I'm one of those people.
Play basketball.
I'm one of those people.
Play basketball.
You see how he running? Like a 60-year-old man.
Yeah.
He running like me right now.
Well, if you're healthy, play basketball. If you're cleared to play basketball, play basketball. You're not going to get better at basketball by not playing basketball.
David Jacoby, you've seen me go through phases of the NBA where I was in tip-top shape. Mm-hmm. You've seen me go through the kangaroo Jalen phases.
That was not tip-top.
Okay. You see him running?
Mm-hmm.
He run like me.
Well, get in shape and play basketball then.
And I'll be 47 in a couple of weeks. You know how old he is? He's 19 years old, man. He is 19 years old. Do not, Pelicans, put Zion Williamson out on the floor in January. If he tells you he's ready to go, you say, all right, big fella, I appreciate that. Practice for 2 more weeks and we'll figure it out.
That's fine. I mean, that's what I'm saying. I'm saying if he's healthy and he's in shape and the doctors clear him, he should play basketball. He should not redshirt the year. Even if it's 10 games at the end of the season, he should play basketball.
I love so many things about Zion. My favorite thing about Zion.
What's that?
He'll be successful without basketball. That's the highest compliment I can pay any athlete. I'm not going to just rush him out there like some jock and think that he's going to win 5 to 10 games and it's going to change the dynamics of our season, because it ain't. It is not. They're better off getting another lottery pick. This season is over. The goals are over.
Yeah, they're going to be. They're not going to be in the playoffs.
Their goals are over. This idea that Zion was going to come in, one of the faces of the league, help the leader of the Pelicans.
And Lonzo Ball's going to flourish.
The only thing, I'm happy to see Zoball balling. He played well since we had a show. Ingram has been balling all season. That's the theme of their year now.
Those two guys. They should sit Zion?
No, I don't really think. I know they
should. If he's healthy, he works out, he practices, he's full practice, scrimmaging with the team, all of that, and you're looking up and it's Valentine's Day, he shouldn't play basketball.
What do I think about low management?
You don't like low management at all.
How much do I like it?
You really, I would say the word hate.
Okay.
I'd say the word hate.
Okay.
You hate low management. So why are you trying to keep him from playing?
Because this ain't low management. He's recovering from serious injury.
The load's getting bigger and bigger with Zion. The load is getting harder.
Hey, dog, let me tell you something. He don't have a hand injury. He got a knee injury.
Surgery.
You don't get in shape running other than playing basketball when you're recovering from a knee injury. I know he's probably working out in the pool and doing all of those great things, and I know he has a great work ethic.
When he works out in the pool, you think he wears a shirt?
No, he ain't wearing no shirt. That's for guys like us. He's 19 years old. You got a diamond right there. He's a diamond. Okay. Allow him to see what it's like to be an NBA player, work with your training staff the entire year.
I want him to play. If he's ready and he gets in shape and he's going full scrimmage in practice, play the game.
So stop me if Zion wasn't hurt at this point of his career. High school.
Oh, yeah. I know. High school.
College.
College. Summer league. The pros. Preseason.
It's okay. Joel Embiid is an all-NBA player. His first 3 years, he played 82 total games. Some guys need this injury recovery opportunity to usher themselves back in to be them full selves and have longevity in the league. You see,
he's gonna play.
He's gonna be playing by Valentine's Day. Let me tell you three things that make Zion great that he was not doing in that video. He wasn't running, jumping, or cutting.
No.
You need those.
Well, he's working his way back.
Okay.
He's working his way back.
Work his way back. Redshirt him this year.
The Bucks have the best record in the NBA, and it got better when they beat the Timberwolves. Giannis had 32 points and 17 rebounds. Mm. Jalen.
Yes.
Why do I still feel like the Sixers are coming out of the East?
I don't know why you feel like that. Well, I'll tell you why you and Sixers fans should actually have some hope. It's a game of matchups.
Mm-hmm.
And when I look up front for Philadelphia, you got Al Horford and Joel Embiid that can defend the Greek Freak legitimately.
Yes. Yes.
That's 12 fouls. That's 35 total points. That's 20 rebounds that you can throw at the Greek Freak. And on certain possessions, Ben Simmons tall enough and strong enough to guard him out on the floor. And Tobias Harris on certain possessions. So you have multiple players with height that can bother the Greek Freak. If he's not making his jump shot like he was not doing on Christmas Day. Here's the problem for Philadelphia. They don't shoot the three well.
Yeah, we're gonna get to that. But Jalen.
And they're not maximizing Al Horford offensively.
I want to show you this. Let's take a look at Jared Culver.
Okay.
Okay. You know, rookie. in the league. Just watch this. Yeah! All over Robin Lopez. Stares him down a little bit. Yeah, and then Lopez gets mad.
You got to.
He's like, dog.
You had your chance, dog. You had your chance, dog. Body to body, face to face. You see this car accident coming. I'm coming straight down the lane.
He turned around to run back on defense.
It don't work like that, Lopez.
He turned around to run back on defense, and he knew that Lopez was coming.
Nah, dog. You see me coming down the lane. Yeah. You had your chance to get this business or not. He had his chance, Jacoby. It wasn't like he came weak side or his back was turned. Yeah. It was eye to eye, body to body. That's why I tell you I've never got dunked on. That's what that looks like.
That's getting dunked on.
That's painful.
That's getting dunked on.
That's why I call it the walk of shame. You know, the camera's on Lopez right now. Mm-hmm. He knows everybody's looking at me. It's like the next morning. Still got on clothes from the club the night before.
Jalen Rose yesterday, the basketball world lost a legend, former NBA Commissioner David Stern passed away. Jalen, what was your reaction when you heard the news?
I love Commissioner Stern. He was always up front.
Mm-hmm.
He was a terrific leader, a great visionary. He always joked with me about ruining draft day fashion.
Wait, what?
Every time he saw me.
What would he say?
He just joked about my red and white suit.
Every time he saw me.
I was just at an event with him, Isaiah Thomas, and Earl the Pearl, maybe 3 months ago, celebrating the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
And as somebody whose biological father played in the NBA, and I never got a chance to meet him, I dreamed of that day. Like so many young people, I'm not only going to make it to the NBA and play basketball games, I'm going to shake David Stern's hand. You know what that means? You're going in the first round.
Yep.
So there's a distinction. And so that moment right there not only changed my life and so many fortunes of my family, I want to acknowledge some of the things that he has done for the league that I don't think people really understand.
Like what?
So being born in 1973 and loving the game and playing on hangers in the house and all of that, before I was able to watch the NBA. Just think about that. A young child is 5 years old that couldn't watch the NBA.
Mm.
How about that? Then all of a sudden, my childhood idol knew about him, Magic Johnson. Won a championship in college. And all of a sudden, he go to the league. I'm following. Where Magic go? He went to the Lakers. I'm following. Then all of a sudden, another guy, Larry Bird, they became the greatest rivals that the sport has seen.
Yep.
And then all of a sudden in 1984, a guy named David Stern takes over a league that a lot of sponsors and people who did marketing felt was drug infested.
Yeah.
And the elephant in the room in the United States, he had to convince these check writers that black players could be great pitchmen. To the point where he wanted his players to be looked at as movie stars and superheroes. And that's what the league continued to foster with Michael Jordan, Hakeem Olajuwon, Charles Barkley, the Bad Boy Pistons, and then Michael Jordan. And then that was the diamond that took it to a whole different stratosphere. How about the Dream Team in 1992?
See, that's one thing that people don't realize is if you are young, you don't realize we didn't always have pros in the Olympics. We had basically a college all-star team go to the Olympics. It wasn't the fanfare and the big stars. It was a college all-star team in the Olympics. It wasn't the best players that we have. In 1992, that changed everything, and David Stern had a lot to do with
that. And that covers a lot of bases. You just said a mouthful. Now think about this. A, it shows your product globally.
Mm-hmm.
Name me the best international NFL player.
Joseph Ajayi?
Okay. A reigning MVP in the Greek Freak and Luka Doncic and Dirk.
Oh, yeah.
They were all inspired by...
He globalized the game of basketball.
The globalization of the game. That's one. Two, now all of a sudden these players get a chance to not only show their great basketball prowess to the world, but they also become international pitchmen.
Mm-hmm.
This is before Yao Ming. And this is before LeBron and people taking trips abroad with their brands and their teams. I went on a trip to Europe in 1996 with the NBA playing with the Pacers. I went on a couple of NBA Cares trips as well.
Yep.
David Stern was a terrific leader. Now, there was some turbulence there.
Of course.
He was there 30 years.
Well, to have that job, you're not going to have everybody be happy with you,
correct,
especially when you're at the negotiation table as much as he was.
Oh, did you say negotiation? So let's talk about the money. In the 80s, you could buy an NFL team, NBA team, $5 million.
Mm-hmm.
I got that in my pocket. Now, the average team is $2 billion.
Crazy. And if you just look at, just let's talk about the money for a second. Look at those numbers. What do those numbers tell you?
The numbers tell me growth.
Mm-hmm.
It also shows somebody has to be a visionary, because as a young kid, remember, I talked about not being able to watch NBA basketball in Detroit, Michigan. Now it's being watched across the world.
Oh, yeah, on phones. I mean, you used to watch it on tape delay. They were tape delaying the games. They were playing the games and then showing you the games later. Imagine that in today's day and age.
Imagine listening to the game on the radio. Okay, so now player salaries, when he became the leader of the NBA, $250,000.
Now
you got that in your pocket. $250,000.
I do not.
Now today, $7 million. Before you even talk to an NBA player, $7
million. Mm-hmm.
Name whatever player, $7 million. Nicholas Batum, $125 million. Imagine what Michael Jordan thinks every time he pays Nicholas Batum. That's because of this man.
So one thing I want to ask you, because we all know what he's done, and especially the way he's been celebrated, is, but what was he like as a person? Like from the outside as a fan, sort of, I know his legacy, I know what he's done for the game, but what was a personal interaction like with David Stern?
Wow. I'm going on, what's this, 94, 2004, 14? I'm 25 years almost in the league, working as a player and in the media. And every time he saw me, especially when I retired, he always complimented me about how he felt I was a terrific television ambassador for the game. And he would always say I was the best. I appreciated that about him. He also would joke with me about ruining draft day fashion. But I always would pick his brain about thoughts and ideas. When I just saw him, I was asking him, what did he think about load management? Just saw him 3 months ago. Asked him, what do you think about load management, the growth of the game? And to be such a visionary and such a leader, you're not going to always keep people happy. I remember a couple of rules changed that I didn't like. I didn't like when the NBA changed the ball when I was in Phoenix in like 2006.
Yeah.
I didn't like when the three-point line got moved in the mid-90s. I didn't like when a dress code got instituted. But here's what I realized as I got older about the dress code thing.
What's up?
He didn't enforce it.
No.
That was a headline.
How many people got fined?
That was a headline to let the sponsors know that I'm on top of this, but I ain't get fined for not wearing a collar shirt. Allen Iverson was still an MVP wearing 5X shirts, a do-rag, and cornrows.
One team that will not be playing playoff football is the Dallas Cowboys.
I thought you were going to say the Lions.
Oh, that's a given. But we knew that in October. We knew that in August. Come on, Jalen Rose. But this is the Cowboys, and the Cowboys, always drama, always in the news. And right now, as I speak into this microphone, there's a shocking development about the Cowboys.
What's that?
Jason Garrett hasn't been fired yet. Now, that could change soon, but they've had some meetings on Monday, had some meetings on Tuesday, and he, right now, is still the coach of the Cowboys. Why is that?
Came through the door. I said it before. Jerry Jones. Where do I start? Okay. First and foremost, I got some advice for the Cowboys.
What's that?
This is not going to be popular.
What?
They should bring back Jason Garrett for another year.
Why? Why? Jalen.
Here's why.
Explain to me why.
Let me explain to you why.
Answer the question. Why?
So, I'm not talking about the 10 years that he's been on the job and probably only won one or two playoff games. I'm not talking about his body of work.
Why are we talking about that? That's what I'm talking about.
So let me unlock a few things for you.
Okay, please do, because I'm confused.
Number one, who on the Cowboys, on the offensive side or the defensive side, had a career year? Paid Lawrence. Paid Zeke. You're going to pay Zach eventually. You're going to pay Amari eventually. The offensive line, you invested as much in them as any team in the league. Nobody had a great year.
Dak played pretty well.
Against bad teams.
Yeah.
That's one. Two, he's like family to Jerry Jones. And the reason why I bring that up is you're going to hear all of these big names tossed around. The Baylor coach, the Oklahoma coach. What's up with Urban Meyer? Do y'all think the guy that ain't put Jimmy Johnson in the Ring of Honor is going to hire a big name coach, give him a blank check, and give him all of the autonomy and stop doing interviews right after each game?
Jerry Jones calls your phone right now.
Yes.
Says, Jalen.
Keep Jason.
Before he even gets a question out, keep Jason Garrett. I'm shocked by this.
Or here's the guy that I've said his name on this show multiple times this year. Or give Mike McCarthy the job.
Mike McCarthy?
That's what I would do.
So you say McCarthy or Garrett? Lincoln Riley? No?
He's not. Please stop saying it. Hey, look, if he does that, I'm going to walk on water.
Jalen.
I'm going to walk on water. You know how much power, Jalen, and autonomy he would have to give a modern day Jimmy Johnson?
So here's the thing. You keep Jason Garrett. You start slow. What are we going to start talking about again every single Monday? Are they going to fire Jason Garrett? It's been happening for like 7 years now. They should probably fire Jason Garrett. We've been talking about it for so long. It should probably happen.
I got news for all of you fans and media types. What you guys think about the Cowboys coaching situation does not matter. It only matters to one person. All Jason Garrett has to do is impress one person. That's Jerry Jones. That's why he's kept the job this long. And if you're going to meet with him three times.
What are they going to meet about?
You might as well let him coach again.
What are
again.
We meeting about?
That's my point.
What are we meeting
That's
about?
That's why I said, if you're going to meet with him three times, you might as well let him coach one more year. You don't think in those meetings, it went from, all right, you know, it was a bad season. You know, it just, maybe we should part ways.
If you're going to fire him, there's no reason to have a second meeting.
We should part ways, but you know what? Here's what I'll
Breakups
do.
Breakups are hard, Jalen.
You know,
breakups are
here's
hard.
Here's what I'll do.
Breakups are hard.
I'll give you a job in the front office. You know what? Next day, you know what? You could be the advisor to the owner. Then the next day, you know what? We may need to run this back one more time.
Do you think Jerry Jones has reached out to replacements?
No.
Oh, I think so.
No.
I think he's throwing some tests out there. He's tested the water.
I say that tongue-in-cheek joking because it's his job to. So, of course, Stephen Jones is out doing his due diligence and seeing who's out there. But here's what I predict. If Jason Garrett don't get another year, Mike McCarthy, stop screaming these college names at me like he's going to go out and give Lincoln Riley $70 million. There's only one owner that does interviews after every game.
Jerry Jones.
You think a coach wants that?
In the same division, the Washington football team, they have a coach. They hired Riverboat Ron Rivera. What do you think about that hire, and can they compete in the trash NFC East?
So, two-time NFL Coach of the Year, led the Panthers to the Super Bowl, oversaw a squad that had an MVP in Cam Newton.
Yep.
Helped nurture Christian McCaffrey into being one of the best backs in the league. Obviously, you want to give credit to the offensive coordinators and stuff as well.
Yeah. Team effort. Everything's a team effort.
No doubt about it. I think this is a great hire for them. And this is kind of what I'm saying about Dallas. So many times the fans and media want to spin a blank check and throw the big college name out there. All you need is a really good coach. Somebody that's shown you that they can do it if it's not their first time. And it's somebody that's going to command the locker room. I'm going to give the Giants job away on this show, too.
You are?
Yeah. Josh McDaniels.
Josh McDaniels?
Yeah. Josh McDaniels.
I like that. I do like that. Well, did the Michigan Wolverines play yesterday? Did they have a football game yesterday? Oh, wait. Oh, they did.
Wrong.
See the clock right there? You see the clock? You see how much time is left in the game? Jalen.
I can't stand you.
Jalen, I kept my eye on this one. Did Tua play? Oh, no. And Jalen Hurts, no. Oh. Very quickly, Jalen Rose. Very quickly. How do you feel about the state of Michigan football right
First
now?
First off, we were in a can't-win situation. And the rest of the world going to be like, what do you mean by that? Well, if we beat the brakes out of Alpha
Alpha. Because they don't have Tua.
Right. If we beat the brakes off of them, it's like, oh, they didn't have Tua.
Yeah.
Then if we lose, then we stink.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah, that's basically it.
But here's the real. You can't allow Jones to throw for 300 and have three TDs. No. Judy can't get a touchdown on the first play offensively of the game, 85 yards.
So, Jalen, I want to talk about Tua for a second because he said that he will make an announcement on January 6th. If I were Tua, I'm going league. I'm going to the NFL. I'm not even thinking about it. It is over. He's projected to be one of the top picks, if not the first quarterback drafted. So why do you think he's even considering staying in college football?
Let me give you some behind-the-curtain intellect. Tua should 1,000% stay at Alabama.
What? What? You are on one today.
This is
what the whole point is, to get to the NFL.
How many years did I play in college?
Three.
Okay. I could have left after my sophomore year.
Should have left after your sophomore year.
I should have. Let me tell you why he should stay. In April, he ain't going to be throwing. That's when he's going to be interviewing with teams. That's going to mess up his draft stock. Number one. And then number two, we don't know how healthy he's going to be next year.
I'm shocked by this. I'm shocked by this. You want him to play football and not get paid for it next year?
I want him to be healthy. It just so happens he's going to go back to school and be dominant.
I want him to be wealthy. I want him to be healthy. I want him to be healthy, but I really want him to be wealthy. And you know what? If he goes back out there, tears an ACL or something, next thing you know,
injuries happen. You can't play not to get hurt.
Yeah, but you can get paid and get injured, or not get paid and get injured.
If he comes back,
what would you rather do?
If he come back to school,
what happened to you today?
If he come back to school, number one pick.
Let me get this straight. Tua should come back and play at Alabama, and Jason Garrett should come back as the coach of the Cowboys.
Or Mike McCarthy, yeah.
You serious?
Yeah.
You're wrong. I get so many text messages and phone calls from Jalen Rose about what we're going to talk about on the show. So much so that we create an entire segment where you can decide what we're going to talk about. It's called Keep It Moving. If you want to discuss the topic that I proposed, you say hit the brakes. If not, me or Method Man jump in the minivan and keep it moving. Are you ready, Mr. Rose?
Cal.
Carmelo Anthony had Knick fans chanting his name last night.
Hit the brakes on this one.
Let's hit the brakes. Anthony had a season-high 26 points in a loss to the Knicks, played really well, and had the Garden faithful chanting his name in the Garden once again.
But Knick fans, it's been interesting to see a team that struggled early, fired
fans,
playing a lot better under their new coach, Mike Miller. I want to give him props. But they beat Porzingis twice this year.
Mm-hmm.
They beat Melo at the Garden. So it's the best of both worlds for the fans. They get a chance to see Mitchell Robinson go 11-for-11 and play really well.
Yeah.
And then celebrate one of the greater Knicks in the franchise's history.
Oh, yeah.
And I've told you this. This is why I wanted Melo back in the league. Now he's rewriting his narrative.
Yes.
If he wouldn't have never come back after Houston, he wouldn't have never got celebrated, appreciated. And now that he's playing, he gets to come back to Brooklyn. He gets to go back to New York.
He's just playing.
He's balling.
He's balling.
26.
Yeah.
But they're 1-6 when Dame Dollar don't score 20. Like, as much as I'm looking at Melo Bosco, I'm looking at Dame Dollar.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's going to be the driving force of that team. But I got to say one other thing about Portland. Hassan Whiteside didn't show up yesterday.
Nope.
I don't know what the stats say. But all I know is that on that one play with Mitchell Robinson, this play stood out.
When he put his shoulder down?
When Mitchell Robinson caught the lob from Frankie Buckets. What you call him, Frankie Buckets?
Frankie Smokes.
Frankie Smokes. On that play, Whiteside was running back. The defense was recovering. His man is running this way, and he's going this way, and they throw him a lob. Oh, man.
I saw
Portland got to get it together with their interior
defense.
Whiteside
put his shoulder down and just went right through Robinson in one play. I was like, where is this? Where is that, Whiteside? Anyway, moving on. The Lakers and the Clippers might have themselves a new point guard. Keep moving or hit the brakes.
Whiteside has been playing better. I'm happy about that. Keep it moving for now.
Okay.
Keep it moving. We keep it moving.
The Bears have committed to Mitchell Trubisky. Keep moving or hit the brakes.
Same GM, same coach, same quarterback.
Same results.
Even if you took him over Patrick Mahomes. Keep it moving.
Keep it moving.
We keep it moving. We keep it moving.
Jameis Winston made history this NFL season. Keep it moving or hit the brakes.
So I'm going to hit the brakes on this one.
Okay. He finished the season with 33 touchdowns, and the last pass he threw was a pick-six interception for 30 interceptions, the first ever to have a 30-30 season.
This is a tough offseason for the Bucks, Brash, and Bruce Arians, because unlike in Tennessee, they benched Mariota. They put in Tannehill and took off.
Yeah.
They never benched Jameis.
Nope.
They never brought in somebody that could actually push them either. And so now all of a sudden, you can celebrate the numbers, and this is why I say analytics destroyed sports.
Because guess destroyed what? Sports?
Yeah.
Sports are destroyed now?
Destroyed.
Sports are destroyed.
You know what I mean.
Okay.
The fundamental value of what's success and or failure.
Sure.
Because guess what we're going to be looking up in a couple of years from now saying? Jameis Winston, who led the league in passing. Jameis Winston, who led the league in all of these stats. Julian, nor the interceptions.
Yeah.
That's the most important. You don't think a guy don't get a chance to throw that
many? He was like, if I start controlling the turnovers, I'll be the best quarterback in the league. It's like, well, how about you control the turnovers then?
Dog, the last pass he threw this year was a pick six.
Yeah.
He knew when it was 20-20.
A walk-off pick six.
Dog, just think about this. He knew when it was 20-20.
Mm-hmm.
He knew when it was 25-25. You know you got to be a guy like, I ain't getting a 30.
Yeah, I'm not getting a 36.
Exactly. He knows he's at 29. He knows he's at 29. I'm about to lose a game and not hit 30.
Moving on. We have a LaMelo ball update.
Hit the brakes!
My guy.
Homicide
got Corey. The report.
Yeah,
Corey Williams. If you don't know. Homicide is a New York streetball legend, was on the fringes of the NBA, had a great career in Australia, and is now an analyst for the league in which LaMelo Ball plays, and he's reporting that a sneaker company.
And he actually tried out for the Raptors when I was there, and that's guy.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I've seen him dominate games.
We got to get over there to go check him out.
I'd love to, but I'm not taking that flight. LaMelo Ball has been offered, reported by Homicide, a $100 million deal with a sneaker company and a private jet. Do you think he should take a deal like this if it exists, or... Hold out.
I'll take it. I'll take
million?
It. I'll take it.
What'd you get to? What is that? 11
I'll
figures?
Take it.
What'd you get to? With nine figures? How many figures is that? Nine figures? What'd you get to nine figures? I'm taking it.
I'll take it.
I'll take it.
I'll
take it. You can keep the jet. Keep the jet.
And
keep
you
the
ready
jet.
For this?
Keep the jet.
I didn't even ask the second most important question.
What brand?
I don't even care.
You be living that Li Ning life? You be living that Li Ning life?
I don't care.
Anta, get the answers.
I don't
answers.
Even care.
Finally.
I remember my guy, Derek Coleman, got them BK Dima sales back in the day.
Oh, those were hot, though. BK was hot for a while. Jalen Rose.
What up, dog?
You remember the Philadelphia 76ers on Christmas Day?
Mm-hmm.
Beating the Bucks, hitting everything.
Season high,
Philly
threes.
On fire. Woof, what a game. They haven't won a game since then.
Mm.
They lost to the Magic. They lost to the Heat in overtime. They lost to the Pacers. They're on a bit of a slide. What do you think the problem is in Philly?
That play we just saw embodies it when... Ben Simmons is trying to inbound the ball, mm-hmm. and there's nobody there to receive it. A lack of concentration, a lack of focus. They don't seem as prepared as the opponent to start the game. They don't show a sense of urgency defensively. I know that they're not a knockdown three-point shooting team, but they should be a lockdown defensive team. And when they're not bringing that effort, teams move the ball on them. They're not denying passes. And all of a sudden, they're penetrating the lane against those big bodies and scoring. You see Sabonis go down the lane and just dunk on the entire team. And so it becomes frustrating to watch a team sometimes that's so very talented. You're like, wait a minute, they got 13 losses?
Yeah.
Like, whoa.
They lost 6-9.
Right. I do believe this team is built to play playoff basketball.
Yes.
Based on just half-court dynamics of it. But for the regular season and the marathon, it's been a struggle watching a team be Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde on a nightly basis.
So that's you hit on a couple things. They are Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. They are built for playoff basketball. And when you watch them on Christmas, when the lights are on, national TV game, they know everyone's watching, they're playing at home, they show up. And I feel like they will in the playoffs as well, which is why I still have them coming out of the East. Jalen Rose, I need you to take us behind the curtain. You remember when Luka Doncic and the Mavs showed up to play in the Staples Center, the bright lights, the superstars? Luka was inbounding the ball. Someone was talking trash to him in Slovenian. And it was Kobe Bean Bryant. So you spent how many years in the NBA?
13
years in the NBA. You played in LA a lot.
What is the interaction like? Take us behind the curtain. What is it like when you're playing in front of the superstars and they start interacting with you?
First, I want to shout out Kobe for not only being one of the greatest basketball players and champions to ever do it, but for being worldly, having the ability to speak multiple languages. I know he grew up in Italy and before he came to the United States or whatnot, but I always applaud people that can get out of their comfort zone to do something different. The trash talk in the NBA is another thing I want to make sure I compliment Kobe Bryant on. People clown me all of the time, any chance they get, about Kobe's 81-point game.
Yep.
What people sleep on about that game, he was so locked in and he concentrated at the highest epitome of concentration. He did not talk trash once that game. Just think about this.
Didn't have to.
If you score 10 points in a red game.
Oh, yeah, I'm talking trash. Everybody. And I'm talking about it on the show the next day. That's just double figures. Just to get to double figures. And to get to 10 points, I was probably 3 for 13.
And so the reason why I always bring that up is because now we in this era of make a shot and celebrate.
Mm-hmm.
Do a dribble move and get the oohs and ahs. But then not even pay attention to the finish line. And Kobe Bryant was a person that knew how to get there. And Luka's a young star in the game. Only LeBron has more 30-point triple-doubles than he does.
Yeah, I'm really glad that you brought up how worldly Kobe is. And I was just shocked that he could even speak Slovenian. So I have a question for you, Jalen Rose.
Yes.
What can you say in another language?
I got a joke that some people might not like, but here's the thing.
Oh, no.
What do you call somebody that knows three languages?
Trilingual.
What do you call somebody that knows two languages?
Bilingual.
What do you call somebody that knows one language?
Lingual?
American.
We always say we give the people what they want, so we're not just going to give you the television show audio. We always give you podcast exclusive Too Hot for TV. It's been a while.
Been too long.
Like the Christmas games. We haven't talked about the Christmas games. That seems like it was three weeks ago.
It was.
Do you want to know why it feels like 3 weeks ago? My wife had a time. I can't tell you.
Make sure you guys follow Jacoby on IG.
Jacoby Juice on Instagram. I can't tell you how happy I am to be at work. I was like, oh, I got work tomorrow. Yes.
So give us a snapshot of what's been taking place at the Jacoby household the last week.
Okay. Quincy, my 6-year-old son. He wakes up at 5. He got poop. My man can poop on command. Because it's an excuse. My son wakes up, daddy! Every day, 5 a.m., daddy! So I go in there, and he's like, I gotta poop. But here's the thing, he boxes you in. What am I gonna say, no? He knows. If he says, I'm scared, I'll be like, don't be scared, and I'll leave him in his bed. If he says, I'm hungry, I'll be like, we're not gonna eat yet, I'll leave him in his bed. But when he says, I gotta poop, what am I gonna say? What am I gonna say?
There's nothing to say.
There's nothing to say.
You gotta get him there.
So he gets up, gets to walking around, gets to talking, and then somehow, some way, he'll poop. He will also sleep poop. I've caught him multiple times sleeping on the toilet because he's tired. It's 5 in the morning. But then once he gets up, he gets the blood flowing. So now he's up and at him. So I got to deal with him.
So let me just say one thing about that story. When I was 6 years old, I was peeing in the bed.
Just right in the bed.
I wasn't waking up nobody.
That's going down. That's more the girls. The girls are 4. That's going down too.
Okay.
Daddy! Okay. I had an accident. Okay. That's what they say, accident.
So I want to give him credit because for him to get your attention and to be so tired that he can sleep poop.
He sleep poops.
I was running through those stop signs.
You tell the parents after the fact.
Yeah. By the time you woke up, I done flipped your mattress.
You're doing
wash the sheets.
You're doing a post game show.
That's when I started throwing drawers and socks away.
Really?
My mother was like, "What happened to your underwear?"
Oh wow. Oh yeah.
I peed in them.
Oh no. You got to put that in the washing machine.
You can't be running a washing machine every day in the hood when your mother wake up.
No, you can't.
Be like, you wait that water bill, boy.
Oh, God. Man.
So, what about the girls?
Girls get up. They get up at like 6:45.
Oh.
6:45. So, Quincy, I'll put after his sleep poop, I'll put him back in bed. He doesn't really sleep, but he'll give me like 20 minutes. Then it becomes just a ping pong between the two of them. The girls wake up. And I'm going to be honest. We got policies around the home. School day. No TV in the morning. But if it's not a school day, Uncle Telly's coming through. Uncle Telly's is television.
I like that.
So I got an iPad.
So I don't give them, one thing I won't do is I won't give them the iPad immediately.
No.
They can't just be like waking up and watching the show immediately. So they'll come into my room, we'll snuggle, we'll play, we'll talk a little bit.
You're a great dad.
And then after like 20 minutes when they start asking for it for like the sixth time, I'm like, all right, here you go with the iPad. But here's what happens with the iPad. Argument over what to watch.
Of course.
And then once they get to watching something they finally agree on, which takes about 15 minutes and like three tantrums and four assaults.
They're twins. They're not the same person.
No, I know. But all three of them got to figure out something to watch. Quincy wants to watch like, you know. Like,
oh, they get the three in one?
Yes. But then once they finally pick something, Pets 2 is big right now. They've seen Pets 2 15 times. Then it becomes a positioning thing. The iPad is mobile. It's not like the TV. We can't just sit on the couch. So then it's a positioning thing. Oh, one wants to be in the middle. Quincy's moving it. He's too close. I can't see. Crying, assault, crying, assault, timeout, crying, assault.
Rinse and repeat.
So when my wife is around, we can go back and forth between someone rest, someone deal with the kids, someone rest, someone deal with the kids. But there's just no, I'm tired, man. I'm tired. I need a nap. I'm so glad to be here.
You're a great dad. Congratulations.
On what?
Getting a chance to spend that quality time with your kids.
I can't wait to bounce on
you. You gotta remember something.
When my wife gets back, she's not gonna see my face for
40. When you're telling these stories, as your brother, what do you think I'm thinking? As somebody that never met his father.
Wish I had a dad like that.
I never met my father, dog.
Oh man. That really puts it in perspective.
You know what I'm saying? Not once.
I complain about it a lot, but it's just
not nice. Once. Not nice. Once. That's you can nice. Tell any of those stories one time. Just think about that.
Thank you, Jim.
So every time I hear you tell those stories, every time I see you post with you and the kids and Uncle Mike on social media, I smile.
Oh, thank
you. Like, that's my brother right
thank
there.
You. Well, my wife, I used to post them crying and stuff, but my wife said, you're stressing me out while I'm on vacation. So I
those two things don't go together.
I know
Joey.
That's what he said. So I'm only, but now I only post the happy stuff. But like, there's a lot of crying. Oh man! Yesterday, Margo's on a toilet. Because I know you love to talk about poop on the show. I know you do. Margo's on the toilet. She yells. She goes, "Daddy!" I'm like, "What?" She goes, "I need some prune juice for this one."
Really?
Yeah.
She needed some help to push it out.
Got,
huh?
Yeah. So I literally pushed her stomach.
Yeah.
Got it done.
Yeah.
Got it done.
Yeah.
That's the things you gotta do.
Yeah.
Things you gotta do with your dad.
Now, what about the wiping situation?
They're good. We got good wipers. Cause I clean their drawers. So I know.
Cause people go streaking.
I know.
He's streaking.
I know. But we got some good wipers, man. They're good. They're good money. They're good money.
Okay.
That's what's going on around the house. Man, but here's what I do. I fill the day with activities. Yesterday.
Getting tired.
Yesterday, we left the house at 9:30 a.m. Came back at 6:45
when it's bedtime.
Yep.
Bedtime.
6:45 p.m. That's it. We're out. Going to tram. Go to the bowling alley. I take him to the bar, too. Go to the bar. They got food there. Go to the bar.
Watch the games.
Go to the movies. Spies in Disguise. Not that great, but whatever. Kids like it. Get some popcorn.
Nachos.
Popcorn and icy, man. Here's the trick. Let me tell you the trick. No candy allowed. Here's the trick. You don't buy individual popcorns for every child.
No. You buy the big one and get a little cup to let them share.
Yeah, exactly. You get in the carrying tray.
Yeah.
Those little carrying trays. So everybody gets a tray. Dump some popcorn in there. Dump some popcorn. I'm not getting you. They have this kids meal thing. We get like a drink and a snack and a... No.
Because you know the one thing I always noticed about kids, when you get them the larger portions of stuff, they don't eat or drink it all.
No.
So you got this big bottle of water. Then I'm going to drink like 25% of it.
Yeah, 3 ounces. Yeah. And when you got 3 kids, I got to get 3 of everything and 3 of the same flavor. If I come home with lollipops and one's cherry, one's strawberry, and one's grape. Oh, we.
Argument.
There's assault.
Argument.
There's going to be a physical fight.
I want
fight.
That cherry one.
There's going to be a physical fight.
I want the grape one.
Yo, there's like 3 or 4 straight up assaults around the house every single day. Timeouts all day. I'm calling timeouts like Popovich. Just timeouts everywhere. So mad. Oh,
you want to know what I've been doing over the last 7 to 10 days?
I'd love to know what you've been doing, Miss Jalen Anthony Rose.
Yesterday, I was in pain.
What happened?
Michigan football.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
It was, and I know we're gonna talk about this on the show, but I'm gonna talk about this forever, so I might as well.
Okay.
I need this therapy right now.
Yeah. Did they have Tua? Do they have Jalen Hurts? No.
See, soon as I saw that matchup, I was like, they set us up.
Set you up?
We got set up.
You got set up a national televised game?
We got set up by the game. Here's what I mean.
Was it 1 o'clock start?
Here's what I
mean.
Big
game.
Can't win situation. If we go out there and beat the brakes off of them.
It's because they didn't have Tua. Yeah. They have an excuse. Yeah.
And they're really good at football. They're Alabama.
They got more than one NFL talent.
Hey. Judy's a beast.
Oh, yeah. How many catches did he have? 15? I was watching the game. He had so many catches.
Dog. It ain't that he had a lot of catches. It's that he had over 200 yards on like 7 catches. Mm. The first play, Jacobs, sitting down, 12:59. I'm into it. About to watch every snap of this game. Do you realize they scored a touchdown on their first play?
Oh, I didn't see that.
I was like, is this happening right now? Like, I can't believe this.
They were in the game, though. Michigan was in the game.
Yeah, we were up, I think, 14-3, and then they outscored us.
I watched
like
the fourth quarter.
28-3 to close it out.
I remember when Patterson had a nice run or something. They were doing stuff, but, you know, couldn't get any of them.
But I have to say this. When Cowboy Stadium opened, I bought tickets to go watch Michigan play Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember standing on the field when Michigan ran out, slapping fives. I'm slapping helmets. Let's go! Let's do this! Cowboy Stadium, I'm hyped. Then Alabama ran out there. I was like, that's an NFL team. They're two times bigger than us. This is real spiel. I'm like, I hope my guys don't get injured. you see what I'm saying? Like, these are some big dudes, man. And why I use that parallel is being at that game on the field and watching yesterday's game. I know it's the easy thing to dump on Harbaugh. He's 1-4 in bowl games. They lost 4 straight. The program has gotten better.
Mm-hmm.
I know people don't want to admit it. Right now, we're not a top 3 team like Ohio State.
No.
But we are a top 12 team.
There's nothing wrong with being one of the best 15 football teams in college football. There's nothing wrong with that.
I'm jealous watching Minnesota play and win against Auburn. I follow the Big Ten, follow the leagues, I follow football. But I was devastated yesterday by that loss. What else happened over the break? Christmas Day.
Okay.
Changed twice, Jacoby.
What do you mean?
Well, it's an early shift.
Yeah.
See, back in the day, I'm telling about this was my 13th consecutive season covering the NBA on Christmas Day for television at ESPN. 13th straight year. Whether it's going to Bristol for NBA Tonight, for SportsCenter, or for Countdown.
You caught a body on Christmas Day. You bodied Richard Jefferson. Because we all watched every game, and we saw our guy, Richard Jefferson, up there in Toronto with the velvet tuxedo blazer.
I was like, I know how to do it.
Looking great.
Yeah, he was looking great.
He was feeling good about himself. People talking about his jacket, trending on Twitter. And then later in the day, you know, you just sunned him.
Yeah,
I felt bad for him. You didn't have to do him like that.
I'm the vet.
You didn't have to do him like that.
Well, I didn't know that he was going to
You didn't have to do him like that.
I already had my look with me. It ain't like I went home and got it. You know, I planned that a month ago.
You didn't have to do him like that, Jay.
So my thing was, in the morning I had some hits. So I wanted to be crisp or get up. Had the Christmas colors on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, did first take, promoted the league. What we used to do when we had all 5 games, we created a theme. So in the morning.
Oh, I remember.
Pajamas.
Yep.
Bacon and eggs on the table. Then as the day graduated.
Yeah, from day to
pick
night.
Pick up the fashion.
Yeah. You would do like a suit, and then at the night it would be like tuxedo style.
And then later, then it'd be an ugly Christmas sweater.
Yeah, we did
like breakfast.
There was like an email chain.
Yeah, exactly. And so this year, I was like, for the early shift, I'm gonna wear one look, and then for ABC.
That's the thing is, see, they should have never put you guys on ABC. That's the problem. It's kind of like this show. It's like, oh, this one's on ESPN 2? I ain't dressing up. I ain't getting a haircut. It's
So once they put you guys on ABC, you guys are just like warming up on ESPN.
And then I saw RJ because he looked clean. That's my brother. I like when he hosts the show for us. I don't want nobody to ever say that.
No, no.
We throw shade. We build people up around
here.
But the joke that we made, and I was just sitting there sitting on it because Jay Will was crushing him. I was like thinking two things. One, it was burgundy, not red. Two, he had on a tie. And I was just sitting there thinking, mine is red. I got the bow tie. I'm about to come with the body bag.
You did. It wasn't nice. I really feel like you should have taken the high road. You already had a different outfit. He's a rookie. You know what I mean? You didn't have to do him like that.
Hey, but those games were crazy. What do you think about the Clippers? The one thing, here's what I want to say.
Okay.
Teams around the league have smartened up to something. When you're going to rest your best player, you taking an L tonight.
Mm-hmm.
This ain't the Popovich Spurs where I'm resting Tony, but I still got Manu and Tim.
And Manu's going to get 30. Yeah, and Manu and Tim are going to step it up and make up for that.
Or I'm going to rest Tim, but I still got Kawhi.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this ain't that. So I'm noticing Philadelphia played great on Christmas.
Oh, yeah. Hit everything in the first half.
Great on Christmas.
Hit everything.
They ball.
Hit everything in the first half.
Ain't seen them since that day.
Haven't won since that day.
Correct.
Haven't won a game. There's a couple close ones, but haven't won a game.
And make sure you check their record when Embiid misses. It ain't good.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing with the Clippers. That's why I tried to warn everyone.
Clippers are about 500 without Kawhi.
Correct. The Lakers and the Clippers are the best two teams in the West. But don't be surprised if that ain't the Western Conference final.
Mm-mm.
Because Denver and Houston, I might as well just go ahead and say it into a microphone. They're going to have better records than the Clippers.
Mm-hmm. Have you seen your guy, Michael Porter Jr., who you were talking about all summer?
I see him. Have you seen him? He keep a crisp cut, too.
Yes, he does. He does. But he looks good.
He's the person that could take him to the next level.
Yeah, you've been saying that. But I've seen signs that I really like checking next year. You know what I mean? Like checking in the playoffs.
Oh, speaking of checking in, what about my guy, the Joker?
Oh, that's your guy now?
I mean,
Stretch Mark 5 is your guy?
I mean, you wasn't giving him love.
You know what? Let me tell you something. Cause
you threw him back in the water.
People hit me on Twitter, right? You know what, Denver Nugget fans? You're welcome. You're welcome, Denver Nugget fans.
Oh, it's because of you.
Because of me. He got called out on a national platform. He wasn't scoring 20 points for like 6 straight games. He didn't think anyone was going to notice because he's in Denver and people ain't watching League Pass like that. And he just thought he could quietly kind of mail in the first part of the season. And I wasn't letting him do that. You're welcome. You're welcome, Denver Nuggets fan. You're welcome to the Jokic family.
So
you're welcome.
So unlike LeBron and Taco Tuesday, we pride ourselves on being tastemakers on this show. Originators and... One of the things I want to implore you to do, you must trademark Stretch Mark 5.
I really should.
And 4.
Stretch Mark 4, 5, all that. Raymond Felton, Stretch Mark point guard.
We got all that.
I got to do that.
I don't even know how.
If someone's a bad lawyer, I don't know how to do this. I don't know how to do anything.
You don't care enough.
If I was going to trademark that, you know what the first thing I would do?
You don't care enough.
I would open up Google and just say, how do you trademark something?
Yeah.
That's the first thing I would do.
You don't care enough.
No. I give the game to the world.
Yeah, you don't care.
I give it to the world, and then I come up with something new.
That's what we do.
So glad to be back here in the studio and away from my kids. Thank you so much for listening to Jalen and Jacoby. We'll be back tomorrow. Why is that, Jalen Rose?
We're not done. We're not done. We're not done.